today, we're going to talk about this theme, wisdom in justice, which is a mega theme throughout not just the book of Proverbs, but really throughout the Bible. But we're going to look at verses exclusively from the book of Proverbs today around this theme of justice. And I have a verse that's going to launch us and kick us off into it, kind of our theme verse for the day on this subject, if you will. And I want to invite you to grab that outline out of your program, if you received a program when you walked in, or open your phone, click on the app. You can follow along with me on the screen here. But I want us to read Proverbs 21:3 and see what Solomon, the writer of Proverbs, has to say about how big of a deal justice is to God. And could we read this verse out loud together? Everybody everywhere, all locations and parent-viewing rooms and everybody here in Chula. Ready? Begin. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. What Solomon is letting us know is that he's saying to do righteousness and justice, that's speaking about our horizontal relationships with people. The way that we treat others, the way that we love other people, the way we respond to one another, that's the horizontal relationship. And then this idea, he says that is more important than sacrifice. What is this speaking of? Well, this is speaking of the vertical relationship that people would have with God. Because in the ancient Jewish culture, the way they worshiped God, the way they atoned for their sins, the way they did things was through sacrifices. Now, this could mean multiple. We don't know what kind of sacrifice this is exactly talking about, because in ancient Jewish culture, there were animal sacrifices that was kind of, you know, regularly happening in the ancient world in many religions. In Judaism, it could be the sacrifice of a bull, a sheep, a goat, a ram. I don't know how cats didn't make the cut, but I'm going to ask the Lord that when I get to heaven. One of many questions. But anyway, or this could actually be even a sacrifice of grain, of wine, or incense. But the point is this. Solomon is saying that to do right by other people, to do righteousness, to live just with other people, that our horizontal relationships, God cares more about that than he does the ceremonial religious acts that we would try to perform for him. That's how big of a deal justice and righteousness towards other people is. And Jesus echoed this idea through a famous teaching called the Good Samaritan. The Apostle Paul echoed this idea when he actually talked about communion. And he said, if you are about to receive communion, to remember what Jesus has done for you and to make things right between you and God and to remember that, and all of a sudden you remember that there's something between you and another person that's broken, where you need to ask for forgiveness, where you need to reconcile that relationship. He says you need to set down the bread and the cup and you need to run out of the church and you need to go fix that horizontal relationship before then you come back to church and pick up the bread and pick up the cup and then you deal with the vertical relationship with God. That's how big of a deal this idea of right living with one another in our world is and justice being done in our world. It's a really big deal. Now, I want to ask you a question. What do you think of just when I say that word justice? For me, when I hear the word justice, I immediately think of Batman. That's what I think of. Anybody else like think of Batman? Batman is my all-time favorite superhero as a kid. He was tops for me, and here's why. Because Batman doesn't really have a superpower. He's a regular dude. And so the reason I love Batman is I thought maybe someday I could be Batman, right? Because, he doesn't have a superpower. In fact, if you watch the last Justice League movie, my favorite scene in that Justice League movie is when Batman is recruiting the Flash. Do you remember this? If not, it's a spiritual moment, okay? No, it's not, but it's an awesome movie. And he's recruiting the Flash, and the Flash goes, so what's your superpower? And Ben Affleck, who does a great job playing Batman in that movie, he turns and looks at him and says, I'm rich. That's his superpower. In other words, he can just, make stuff and have cool vehicles and all, have the suit and all the stuff. And so, for me, and probably for you, when you think of justice, that's what you think of. Which, by the way, we can just settle the debate of which is better, Marvel or DC Comics today. And here's how I can settle that. I know God prefers DC Comics. And you say, James, how could you say such a thing? Well, here's why. Because in Marvel, when you get all the people together, they're called what? The Avengers. All right, come on. We just had Comic-Con people. You should know this. All right? In Marvel, when you get everybody together, the group is called the Avengers. But in DC, when you get everybody together, what are they called? The Justice League. And what does God care about? Justice. Let's close in prayer. Case closed, right? I mean, now, so when I think of the word justice, I think of the Justice League, meaning I think of people that will forcibly right the wrongs that are being done in the world. And my guess is when you think of justice, you think of that too. Whether it be superheroes or whether it be the law or whether it be the courts or whatever, that you would say, man, somebody has to right the wrongs that are being done to people. And that is one side of justice. The punitive, retributive side of justice. Where justice is served, where a wrong is righted, where someone pays the penalty and gets the penalty that they deserve for the injustice that they cause. That is one side of justice. But biblical justice, which is a mega theme in the Bible and a mega theme in Proverbs, it is bigger and it is better than just punitive, retributive justice. There's another side of the coin of biblical justice, and this is the kind of justice that's talked about more often than not in Scripture, and that is the positive side, the redemptive side, the restorative side of justice. You see, here is a biblical definition of justice. It's not just giving the evildoer what they deserve, the penalty. You know, they did the crime, they have to do the time. It's not just that. Here is a biblical definition of justice. And the actual Hebrew word in the Bible, in the Old Testament, it shows up more than 200 times. It is the word mishpat, and here's the definition of it. Are you ready? This is the definition of biblical justice. To treat all people equitably, regardless of their race, gender, socioeconomic status. We could go on how much money they make, you know, what they could do for you or not do, etc. To treat all people equitably. It is giving a person what they deserve. And here's the two sides of the coin of biblical justice. Giving them what they deserve, whether punishment, retributive justice, or protection, positive, redemptive, restorative justice. And most of the verses, if you've been reading through the book of Proverbs, I mean, you've seen this 43 different times in the little 31 chapter book of Proverbs. There are verses about justice for the poor, caring for the oppressed, showing compassion toward the orphan. This is a really big deal to God. You see, what we need to understand, here's the first principle I want you to write down, is that the very idea of justice reflects the character of God. I mean, justice is not just something that God desires and wants. Justice is who God is. It's who God is. Because there's two words, there's another word in Hebrew that is very close married to that mishpat, that word for justice. And that word for justice, the other Hebrew word, this one you'll recognize because it's still used as a traditional Jewish greeting today, it's shalom. And shalom means more than peace be with you. Biblical shalom, it means the peace of God. It means the wholeness of God. And so this idea of mishpat and shalom being together, I mean, it reflects the way God originally created the world. When God originally created the world, there was no injustice. It was perfect shalom. There were no haves and have-nots. There was no slavery. There was no sex trafficking. There wasn't extreme poverty. There wasn't an orphan crisis. There weren't people starving. There weren't, you know, genocides happening. There wasn't, you know, racial inequality, education inequality, homelessness. I mean, none of those things existed because the world was exactly the way God wanted it to be. God didn't cause the injustice we have in the world today. We did that as human beings. That's what happened. And a great picture that I want to give you to understand what restorative, redemptive, that positive side of biblical justice looks like comes from Timothy Keller. He's a pastor in New York City, one of my favorite pastors to listen to and read. Everybody turn your outline over or scroll to the bottom. I recommended several books that go with this theme today. One of those is Generous Justice. And in that book, to help us understand generous justice, Timothy Keller talks about imagine a blanket or a piece of beautiful, you know, material, this silk material like this. And when you look at this material, here's what you know. To get to this point, the material, it was purposefully woven together. You know, there wasn't a bunch of random, you know, strings and pieces of material sitting in a room, and then all of a sudden somebody left and they came back and we're like, whoa, how did that happen, right? There was someone that took each individual thread or machine and purposely wove it together over, under, over, under, over, under, over, under, hundreds of threads, thousands of threads, hundreds of thousands of threads to create this. This is what happened. And our world is the same way. I mean, to look at our world and look at our universe or to look at the human body, I mean, it's not a random hodgepodge of things that just kind of were thrown together. Because in the human body, if one system is off whack, the whole body gets sick. In our universe, if our world is 1 degree tilted different or farther or closer from the sun, life doesn't exist on this planet. And so you look at our world, you look at the human body, you look at the universe, you see that, okay, these things were purposefully woven together. In fact, the Bible says that. That God laid the foundations of the earth. There was this purposeful weaving together. And so when God created things, the world looked like this. Perfect, the way God wanted it to be. There were no gaping wounds of injustice. There was no racism. There wasn't poverty. There weren't places of haves and then other places of have-nots. But this is not what our world looks like today. What our world looks like today is much more like this. There are places and people that are torn and broken. And are there still some beautiful places? Does this look in some ways similar to what before? Well, absolutely. But there are extreme broken and torn places. And to do biblical justice, it means that you go to those torn places and you reweave threads into the lives of broken people and broken places. Biblical mishpat, giving people what they are due. And what are all people due? Dignity, respect, the opportunity to thrive in life. This is what Jesus showed us when he was on this earth, by the way that he loved the marginalized, the way that he cared for the poor, the way that he healed those that were sick. And then Jesus said, okay, now the church, you are going to be my hands reweaving those threads in the broken places of this world until I come again. The idea of justice, giving everyone what they are due, this is so close to the heart of God. I want to show you 3 verses real quick in Proverbs. There's, as I said, there's like 43 of these, but I just want to show you 3 that show how serious this is, this idea to God. Proverbs 11:1. Here's what it says. The Lord detests dishonest scales. Let me just pause right there and say, when I step on a scale, I like it to be dishonest. But that's just me, okay? The Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find what? Say this out loud. Favor with him. God hates dishonest scales, but you want blessing on your life? This is talking about having integrity in the way that you do business. Don't take advantage of people. This is not talking about a scale you step on in the bathroom. It's talking about ancient business practices. The way that if you exchanged any, commodity, food, grain, spices, meat, anything, you would go into an ancient market. They would have a scale. Think the two sides of the scale, Lady Justice picture, right? And they would have a 1 pound, 3 pound, 5 pound, 10 pound block or stone. You would say, I want, 5 pounds of grain. They would take the 5 pound block, set it on this side. All of a sudden the scale would tip. And then they would pour grain, 5 pounds until it became even. And then you would pay and you would take your 5 pounds away. But a normal business practice of many people in the ancient world, this is what Solomon was talking about, is they would take that 5 pound block of wood and hollow a little out. And they would take that 5 pound rock and shave a little off. And so while you pay for 5 pounds of grain, you walk away with 4.5. And what Solomon is saying is that God detests, he hates it when someone knowingly, willingly, and purposely takes advantage of another person. But if you want God's blessing on your life, accurate weights, fill that in with what you do on your job, right? Accurate business practices, honest test taking in school, students. What does that bring to your life? Favor. God cares about righteousness. He cares about justice. Let me show you another verse, Proverbs 22. Look what it says. Don't rob the poor just because you can, or exploit the needy in court. For the Lord is their what? Defender. He will, this gets aggressive. Look at this. He will ruin anyone who ruins them. This verse is saying that if you purposely take advantage of somebody just because you can, just because you know they don't have the resources or the ability or the want to or whatever to be able to say, and you willingly take advantage, you put yourself on the opposite side of God. What's amazing throughout the book of Proverbs and throughout the Bible is that the ancient God of Israel, the God of the church that we serve today, he always identified himself with the oppressed, with the poor, with the powerless. He's called their defender. He's called a father to the fatherless of the orphan. And this, a God like this was revolutionary in the ancient world. I want to read to you a quote from Sri Lankan scholar Vinoth Ramachandra, and he calls a God like this, he calls it scandalous justice. I want you to listen to this. I love it. He says, in virtually all ancient cultures of the world, the power of the gods was channeled through and identified with the elites of the society, the kings, the priests, the military captains, not the outcast. To oppose the leaders of society then was to oppose the gods. But here in Israel's rival version, the God of Scripture, it is not high-ranking males, but the orphan, the widow, and the stranger with whom Yahweh, God, takes his stand. His power is exercised in history for their empowerment. So from ancient times, the God of the Bible stood out from all other gods of all other religions because he was on the side of the powerless, the oppressed, the fatherless, because he wanted justice for the poor. One more verse. Look at Proverbs 23. Look what it says. Do not move an ancient boundary stone or encroach on the fields of the fatherless. Fields of the fatherless is talking about an orphan. So imagine the head of household, the male in that society that had all the rights, all the power, all the ability. That person dies. Now you have a family, vulnerable, easy to take advantage of. And their land is next to somebody else's land. And the farmland was probably divided by just a row of stones. And so because you know there's nobody there to protect them, you go out at night and you move those stones 6 feet over so your field is 6 feet wider. And you basically steal their land. That's what this is talking about. Don't you dare do that because they're vulnerable now. Why? For their defender is strong. It's talking about God. He will take up their case against you. Again, if you take advantage of the vulnerable, you take advantage of the oppressed, you take advantage of the poor, you're actually putting yourself on the opposite side of God. And let me just ask you this. Would you want to believe in a God or follow a God who wouldn't do that? No, I wouldn't either. You see, he's a God of justice. And so you need to understand, if justice for the vulnerable, for the outcast, for the marginalized, for those who just happen to be born there, it's nothing they did, it's just they didn't have the opportunities. If that is such a priority for God, it should be for his people too. And so here's our second principle, write this down. We must be people who pursue justice. If justice matters to God, it must matter to us. Justice is not an optional add-on for Jesus' people. That's not, well, the real, you know, the radical, crazy Christians get to do that. No, that's everybody. Proverbs 29:7. Look what it says. Let's read this one out loud together as well. Can we do that? Everybody everywhere, ready, begin. The just get involved with the poor and know their issues. But the wicked cannot comprehend such concerns. A characteristic of a just, righteous man or woman, one of those characteristics is that they can care for the poor. They know their issues. Not just giving from a place of pity, but giving from a place of compassion and understanding and trying to see their challenges through their eyes and their experience. But the wicked can't comprehend such a thing. The wicked, well, they're just lazy. They could get a job if they really wanted to. They're just looking for a handout. You see, the wicked can't comprehend taking some of what they've been blessed with and blessing someone else with it, because the wicked view that everything that comes to them is for them. The wicked are so self-absorbed and self-focused that they can't comprehend saying, God, thank you for the abilities that you've given me, and let me take some of what you've given me to share with other people to repair some of those broken places and broken people in our world. Justice matters to God, and it should matter to his people. So how do we live a life of justice? What can we do to be a part of God's redemptive, restorative justice in the world? I want to give you three things real quick. The first one is this. Write this down. We pursue justice when we recognize the dignity of all people. This is the foundation. This is where it has to start. You can't read the Proverbs without seeing this principle again and again and again and again. Justice means giving all people their due, giving all people what they deserve. And what do all people deserve? Well, Scripture says, because all people are created in the image of God, all people need to be treated with dignity, value, and respect. Because all people are created in the image of God, poor people, rich people, men, women, black, white, brown, yellow, able, disabled, born, unborn, all people are created by God and are therefore loved and valued by him. And you need to understand, this is a uniquely biblical idea. I think we take that idea for granted, that everybody has value, that everyone is equal. We take that for granted because of, you know, the society that we live in and maybe the country that we were brought up in. But this idea in the history of the world is incredibly unique. And if you think this is believed everywhere, you need to get out more. Because it's still in most cultures of the world and most societies of the world, all people are not created equal. Even though that's a statement in our country, we've, you know, had a really difficult time living that out as well. But still in most places of the world, that idea that everybody has value, that everybody is equal, and this idea that all people are created in the image of God, this flies in the face of almost every other culture, even most religions. This is a unique biblical idea, because in most cultures and in most societies, people's value is based on what they can contribute back to society. It's based on the family they're born into, the gender that they were born with, the color of their skin, how much money they have. And this is what makes authentic Christianity unique in the world, because only Jesus shows up and said, this is what love looks like. This is how you love the marginalized, the oppressed, and the forgotten. And this is the grounding that we must have to argue and take action for the dignity and rights of all people. Look at what it says in Proverbs 31. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Speak out on behalf of those who have no voice and defend all those who have been passed over. Open your mouth, judge fairly, and stand up for the rights of the afflicted and the poor. You see, we are called to carry the same mission that Jesus had, the way that Jesus loved, to bring justice to the people and the places that need it most. So we pursue justice first. The baseline is to recognize the dignity of all people. And then secondly, we pursue justice by this. We must realize the power we have to bring justice. Realize the power that we have to bring justice. I believe we all have the power and the ability to bring justice to people and places every day in more ways than we know. Every one of us have the ability to acknowledge other human beings' presence, to look them in the eye and let them know that they are seen, that they are heard, that they have value. Every one of us every day have the opportunity to speak words of life that we talked about during this series, words of encouragement, words of blessing rather than words of curse. Every one of us have that opportunity every single day. We have the opportunity to take some of our time and serve in some of those places and communities and with people in our own community that need justice. We can take some of what God has given us with our resources and share that with others. Look at what it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27. Look at this. Do not withhold what is good from those who deserve it. Biblical justice. Are they getting their due? If it is within your what? Say it out loud. Power. If it's within your power, if it's within your ability, if you can, you have it to give it, do it. And don't withhold good if you have the ability. So I want you to find an issue of injustice that you are passionate about. And here's what I know. There are so many issues of injustice in our world. We can't be an expert in all of them. We can't try to solve all of them. But that's why this thing is called the body of Christ, because not everybody is called to do everything. But everyone is called to do something. And I just believe that if every single Jesus person would do something, then I think everything would get done. If every single church, Jesus community would do something, and not every church can do everything, but if every church did something, I just believe that everything could get done.